And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. There's a device which is used in modern films and television, which is typically called a flashback. This trick allows the producer to include important material from the past that informs the viewer about certain events in the present and in the future. Sometimes this device is used to fill in a detail regarding a theme in the movie, or it may be used to explain why a particular character acts the way that he or she does. Well, long before there was such a thing as Hollywood, the church employed a similar device in the church year. I'm referring particularly to the gospel lessons chosen for the third, fourth, and fifth Sundays after Easter. As we celebrate Eastertide, a season of 40 days, the church takes the occasion of our gospel lessons to flash back to the important discourse which Jesus had with his disciples in the upper room on the night before he went to the cross. The reason this is done is because there is so much contained in that discourse which informs our celebration of Easter, as well as the next two major feasts in our calendar, namely the Ascension and the Feast of Pentecost. There's one particular statement from our lesson that I want us to hone in on today. I happen to think it's one of the most shocking and thought-provoking statements that Jesus ever made, which is saying something. As we read through this discourse, we can only imagine what his disciples were thinking. Jesus was throwing so many things at them, and many of these sayings at the time must have seemed like riddles to them. But Jesus was laying out the events of the days to come, events which would include his crucifixion, death, and burial the very next day, his resurrection 3 days later, and then looking beyond that, 40 days to his ascension. And finally, he references the Feast of Pentecost, which would take place some 10 days after that. At the opening of our lesson, Jesus tells them that he is going to him that sent me, a reference to the ascension back to his Father in heaven. And because he said this, the disciples' hearts were filled with sorrow. And who could blame them? For 3 years, they had followed him around. They had seen him do things that no man had ever done before, from healing lepers to the blind to those who were lame, and even raising 3 people from the dead. And on top of this, they had listened to him many times teaching and giving sermons, speaking with an authority that was unheard of. And now he is telling them that he's going away. Their hearts were filled with sorrow. And yet here is where the shocking statement comes. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away." Now, we don't use that word expedient very much anymore, so maybe this modern English translation will help you. It says, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." Do you see how this would be shocking? After being with them for 3 years, how can Jesus tell these followers that it would be better for them if he leaves? The answer to this is given in the very next statement where he says, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." If you read through the discourse, you'll find out that the Comforter spoken of here is the Holy Spirit. In fact, earlier he'd said that he was going away, but that he would pray the Father that he would give them another Comforter, that he may abide with them forever. The word "another" is important here because it means another of the same kind. It also implies, of course, that they have already had a comforter with them. So the present comforter was Jesus himself, and the future comforter would be the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is saying that he's going away when he ascends back into heaven, but he promises to send another comforter to them, meaning the Holy Spirit. And the shocking part of this is that the coming of the Spirit will be even better for them than his current presence with them. Now, of course, this begs the question as to how this could be. How could the presence of the Holy Spirit be better for the disciples than Jesus' bodily presence among them during his earthly ministry? The answer is that Jesus will, in fact, be with them by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is sending them out to bear witness to his gospel throughout the world, and in his current state, it would be impossible for him to be present with each of them in his body. But when the Holy Spirit comes, now he will be able to be with each of them wherever they go. This also explains one of the final statements which Jesus told them before he ascended into heaven. He commissioned them to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing and teaching them. And then he adds this promise, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So what Jesus is saying is that after he ascends into heaven, he will send the Holy Spirit to them, and by the Spirit, who is just like Jesus, he will be with them in power to accomplish the mission that he is giving to them. But it should be noted that this promise of Jesus was not just for those disciples. It is for all of his disciples throughout time and space, including us. Maybe you've thought in the past, if only I could have been there to see and to hear Jesus. If we take his words to heart, Jesus would tell us, "I am closer to you by the presence of the Spirit than I ever was with my disciples during my ministry." You see, just as Jesus poured out his Spirit on his disciples at Pentecost, shortly after his ascension, so does he pour out his Spirit upon each one of us at our baptism, which means that Jesus is now with each of us by the presence of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to us and works in our lives to transform us into the image of Christ, that we might bear fruit for his kingdom. He empowers us to walk in his ways and to fulfill his holy will and commandments. So as we continue to revel in the celebration of our Lord's resurrection during Eastertide and the new life that he's brought to us, we also begin to anticipate the celebration of the Ascension and the Feast of Pentecost, which will take place just days from now. It is to our advantage that Jesus went away in the Ascension, because it opened the way for the Holy Spirit to come at Pentecost. And so, he is with us always, in every place, and at all times. These are comfortable words. May we learn to recognize his presence in us, and may this truth transform the way that we think and live. Amen. Now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."